We're doing the Navi Yeshaya. We're up to what's called the 27th chapter, the 7th Pasuk. The Navi describes the return of Israel to the land of Israel. The Navi describes how Hashem will bring us back and will bless us with peace. And then the Navi turns to Am Yisrael and says two Psukim that have within them many secrets as to how Hashem runs the world and many interpretations. We'll begin with one and then we'll digress to a few others. The Navi says, HaKemakat makehu hikahu im kehereg harugav horag. If you want to see how God's running the world, notice how God hits back the same way that Israel's enemy hit them. If the Egyptians began by drowning the Jews at sea, so then their punishment began with the Nile turning to blood and ended with the Egyptians being drowned at sea. In Kehereg Arugav Vorag, you can notice how Hashem would kill those who killed his people in a like manner. And that's what Nachmanides writes, that the reason that Hashem acts through Midah keneged midah, that Hashem acts in kind with a person's behavior or with a nation's behavior, is so that one can notice that it's God's hand at play. If it would be coincidental, so then our imagination can connect many dots. But if it's direct, if you can see a direct correlation, a direct link, a direct similarity between the sin and the punishment, so then there's a greater... a greater logical reason to connect the dots to see that it's God's hands. Besa se'a b'shalecha terivena. Besa se'a is a conjunction of two words. Se'a is a measurement of volume. Se'a is 6 kav, and a kav is the volume of 24 eggs. So you have to imagine that a kav is about 3 liters. A kav is about 3 liters. You want exact measurements, I'll give you, God willing, next week. And a se'ah is 6 of those. A se'ah is 6 kav. So it says, besa se'ah, with a measurement for a measurement, meaning an equal pay. Bishalecha terivena, when the time comes for God to punish, to discard a nation, God takes them to task and fights them. Hagah. God has spoken with his harsh wind, with his harsh declaration, biyom kadim, with a day, so to speak, that's going to come with a strong wind or a strong destruction against the nations as Hashem punishes them. So Rashi learns this is all a reference to Jewish history. Look back in time. Look at how the nations have been punished, and you'll see that it's been an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Look at the Egyptians, etc., and you'll see how God actually takes the enemies to task, and that will give you the strength to look to the future in anticipation of Hashem standing up on behalf of the Jewish people. That's Rashi's interpretation. Yes?
It seems like, you know, we can't base our faith on that because, you know, like an example, let's say like Germany, you know, 60 years ago, they weren't just, you know, I mean, maybe they did true sugar, but they're not. But after the war, it became the powerhouse of Europe, more or less. So it doesn't seem that that measure for measure analogy holds.
So our sages say, I wasn't going to get to that level of depth so quickly, but we can start there. I was going to work our way there, but I'd rather address the question. So
it bothered me until, you know, you mentioned that one should be able to see a measure for measure.
Correct. I didn't want to say that.
I can't say that there's relevance there, but yes, it's 6 million.
You don't want to say that, but...
Maybe later we'll discuss it. Let's...
I like that.
So we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Bemida she'adam moded ba modedin lo." The way a person measures to others, that's the way it is measured to him. The Mishnah is describing a sota, a woman that committed adultery. And so the Mishnah describes how the punishment is in kind with her sin. So then the Gemara goes into our pasuk. We have a Tanai quote, it's a Tosefta. Rebbe said, what's the source for this concept of midah, keneged midah, that God punishes in kind? Our pasuk, b'sasea b'shalecha terivena. So the Talmud says, wait a second, the pasuk described a large volume, b'sa'a, when it reaches a large volume of sin, so then God punishes it with a large volume that corresponds to that. How do you know that it works on smaller scales as well? So the Talmud quotes verses to indicate that. And then the Gemara says, why do we need this pasuk? If we have a verse that indicates that on smaller measures, God pays back in a like scale, in a like manner, so why do I need this pasuk about a larger measure? The Gemara says, I need that to tell me, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nifra Min Ha'uma Ad Shat Shilucha. God doesn't actually take a nation to task till He decides to annihilate it completely. When do I see B'sa'a? When will I see a like punishment? When I won't see a Germany anymore, then I can anticipate that the way Germany will go will have a reflection of the sins of Germany. That's what? I don't know when it'll be, but I know that the Talmud tells me that this concept with regards to a nation is when I see it as the final blow. So we find throughout Tanakh that Hashem is slow in paying back. I don't think they were paid back yet.
Okay, that's the fact that, yeah, that was my only question. It's dangerous to measure to keep one's faith on having to see it because we won't see it often.
Right? I agree. Okay. Yes. I'm just 1 second, I'm sorry. What the Navi is saying is, according to Rashi's interpretation here, the Navi is saying, if you look back and you see where I've done it, that will give you the strength to deal with the difficulties you're facing now. He's not saying expect to see it now in your lifetime. Just look.
Right.
Okay, the question is, can I see that b'sasa? Can I see that midah keneged midah? I don't know enough history to know that.
More so than in the short run, it shortens the night. He's on a personal level, it's not an ATM machine.
Right.
Put in mitzvahs and you get good shit. Yeah. It worked in one lifetime usually.
Yes.
Except with Assyria or with Babel. Babel came and destroyed you and Hashem punished them because there was two even with the Lebanon forest. But they disappear like a power. Iraq is still with Babel. So the same with Germany. They disappear like a power. No more Germany with power. They are just under the Americans all the time. So that's the same.
I don't know.
We talk about Babel.
What?
Was punished. He paid. So how he paid? We must look there and we get the example. Then we put another part in here. Otherwise, measure for measure doesn't work at all. So I think that it works. Because it's written this. That is the example in the history.
He has a point because the example the Talmud gives is from Egypt. And Egypt was wiped a clean slate, meaning after the Exodus, almost all able men were dead, and the economy was finished, but they still rebuilt. They're still in Egypt in the days of the first temple. Towards the destruction of the first temple, Egypt is a formidable power. So that also needs work. What's that referring to, meaning? Okay, that's another question. So I don't know how to work all these things out. I don't know. Okay. Okay, so we went with that interpretation. Okay. So Hashem says, Lachen. So, Bizot Yechupar Avon Yaakov. By the same token, even now, Jacob's sin can be forgiven. Vze kol peri hasir chatato. And Hashem says, the fruit, Hashem says, if they do repent, I am willing to remove their sin. Besumo keavnei mizbeach, kol avnei mizbeach, keavnei gir menupatzot, lo yakumu ashirim vachamanim. If Jacob takes the responsibility to destroy their temples, to destroy their altars, throughout the land of Israel, wherever you'd go, you'd see altars for pagan idol worship. So Hashem says, if you destroy the altars so that people won't re-enact idol worship. It's not enough you stop worshiping the idols. Destroy the temples, destroy the altars, destroy the potential for future idol worship. Ki il bitzura badad. Okay, now this pasuk is again a very difficult pasuk, because it's not clear what time period the Navi is referencing. It's also difficult because Rashi says, when you do this, the fortified city of Yishmael, ki il betzura, the fortified city of Yishmael will become badad, will become isolated. Nave, the city that hitherto was fully inhabited, will be mishulach v'ne'ezav kamidbar, will become desolate like the desert. And the question when we read this Rashi is, what did Rashi write? Because Rashi suddenly throws in Yishmael here, it certainly is suspect that Rashi was not writing about Yishmael. He was writing us a piece about Christianity here, and the Christian censor forbade us from printing it, and so they switched the word to Yishmael. And so if you really want to know what Rashi says, then remind me for next week. I'll bring in again, last year I brought it in, we have a very accurate, from Bar Ilan, an accurate edition of Rashi's commentary on Isaiah, and we have to check over there if Rashi really wrote about Yishmael, or was Rashi saying something else. Whenever you see a line like this in Rashi, you got to check. So, God willing, next week we'll look it up. Yes, Ki'il b'tzura badad, whichever enemy it is that he's referencing, their fortified cities will suddenly become desolate, their inhabited cities will become destroyed. Sham yir'egel v'sham yirbatz v'chila se'ifeha. It will become grazing territory, and as they graze, they will consume all the branches of that country. Bivosh kitzirat ishavarna, and the roots and the growth, the vegetation will dry out and break down. And very often the vegetation and the growth is a reference to the inhabitants and the leaders of a country. So as they dry out and break down, nashim ba'ot me'irot ota, and women will come and light it. They will use it for fire. So it means it'll be a place that no one will guard, that you won't need to have any strength to enter and gather up the wood, which is a metaphor. It's a reference to the idea that weak nations will be able to take down this awesome nation that was the enemy of Israel, whichever nation he's referencing. We're not sure which nation he's talking about. But he's saying when God will finally bring Israel back to the land of Israel, so then their great enemy will be weakened to the point where even women will be able to come harvest in their territory, which is a way of saying even a weak nation will come in and destroy that territory. Kilo ambinotu, because they're not a smart nation. Al kein lo yirachamenu osehu veyotzero lo yechunenu, and that's why God will not have any mercy over them, because they've been behaving in this way and they haven't had the intellect to realize that what they're doing is wrong. Now, this pasuk teaches us another important point. Our sages say from this pasuk we learn that you can't always just have pity. Sometimes a person does things that are very harmful and you say, he's just not smart enough. That's not always an excuse. Sometimes we say, if he wasn't smart enough, he shouldn't have done anything. He shouldn't have done things that would hurt other people. It's not an excuse to say, he wasn't smart enough, so he did things that were damaging to the Jewish people. So Bar Kamtza was also pretty stupid. Look at what he did. He brought the destruction of the temple. That's not a good enough excuse. And on the contrary, our sages say, when someone is stupid and harmful, so then you see from this pasuk, that's not a reason to have mercy on them. If they're harmful, then that's not an excuse to say, he didn't know better. Well, he should have known better. He should have at least mitigated his harm to others. There's a responsibility to limit the harm we do to others. You can't just say, I didn't know. So you should know. So learn, or at least limit your actions. So that's a concept we derive from this pasuk, and we will pick up here, Bezat Shem, next week. Shabbat Shalom.